welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, with you for an hour of sitcoms. Later on, we'll hear Rudy Valley, past special guest in Duffy's Tavern. Right now, it's My Favorite Husband, starring Richard Denning and Lucille Ball. This episode first heard on March 4th, 1949 on CBS. This is an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast.
It's the new Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper. Two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers this morning, the members of the household are in various stages of preparing for the new day. George is in the shower singing Old Man River. Katie the maid is getting breakfast. And Liz Cooper is just coming into the kitchen.
Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Mrs. Cooper. Has Mr. Cooper finished his shower yet?
I don't think so. He's through toting the barge and lifting the bale, and he was getting a little drunk, so I guess he's just about landing in jail now. Oh, I hope he's in a good mood when he comes down. I have something terrible to tell George, something that will just break his heart.
Mrs. Cooper, you're not getting a divorce.
Oh, much worse than that. My mother is coming to visit us.
No.
Yes. And never mind the syrup on George's hotcakes. I'm going to be so sweet and sticky, he won't need it. Uh-oh, I hear him coming. I'll be in the breakfast room.
All right.
Katie, where's Mrs. Cooper?
She's in the breakfast room waiting for you.
Oh, I'm afraid to go in there. I've got to tell Liz my mother's coming to visit us. Oh, now, don't be like that, Katie. You can be thankful it's my mother and not her mother that's coming.
Yes, sir.
Well, might as well go in and see how nice I can be to her.
Well, I wish I'd known about this earlier. I could have sold tickets.
Breakfast will be ready in a few minutes.
Oh, man, river, da da. Well, good morning, Liz, honey.
Why, if it isn't my big, wonderful, handsome husband. Kiss me, George, darling, sweetheart, baby.
All right. How do you feel? My little honey baby doll cream puff sugar.
Wait a minute. Who's putting it on for who here?
Well, Liz, I have something to tell you.
That's funny. I have something to tell you, too.
Well, you tell me first, darling.
All right. I don't know how to put this, George, but... Well, I'm expecting a visitor. Pretty soon, you're going to have another mouth to feed.
Liz, honey, that's wonderful. Oh, sit down. You have to take care of yourself now. How soon?
Well, she'll arrive the day after tomorrow.
The day after tomorrow?
Yes, I'm the super chief.
Oh. Liz, this is nothing to joke about. Imagine the patter of little feet around the house.
George, we're going to have the patter of big feet around the house. My mother is coming to visit us.
Your mother? I thought you were talking about a bundle from heaven. Boy, did I have the wrong location.
That is very humorous. What was your news?
Well, Liz, I don't know how to tell you, but I'm expecting a visitor, and you're going to have another mouth to feed.
Well, at least I can't misunderstand you the way you misunderstood me.
George, you don't mean...
Yes, Liz. My mother is coming to visit us.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Well, George, there's only one thing to do. You have to tell your mother not to come.
I will not. You tell your mother not to come. Huh. After all, your mother visits us twice as often as my mother.
Well, it comes out even. Your mother's twice as repulsive as my mother.
Twice? Well, there isn't that much repulse in the world. Now, don't cry, Liz. Oh, please, Liz. Now, let's be sensible. Come on, calm down. Now, what can we do about our mother's coming?
Well, we could put up sandbags and shoot it out with them.
Now, I'll make a deal with you. We'll send them each a telegram and tell them not to come.
Oh, what can we tell them? Oh, I know. How about this? Dear Mother, don't come now. House being closed while we fumigate for termites.
Liz, you're a genius. Send that to both of them.
Okay. Yes?
Western Union, 2 telegrams.
Oh, thank you.
George, here are the telegrams from our little mamas.
What do they say?
Oh, this one's from my mother. Understand, and we'll come later. Why do you have to fumigate? Just let George smoke one of his pipes. Ha ha.
Your mother has a great sense of humor. And look at the way she addressed it. Miss Liz Elliott.
Yeah.
You're married 10 years, and she still called you by your maiden name.
Mother's a hard loser.
Miss Liz Elliott.
Well, I don't know what you've got to get mad about. Look at the way your mother addressed her telegram. George Cooper and what's her name?
Now you're being silly. Let's see what she says. Sorry, am coming anyway. Wait and fumigate house after I leave.
She's right. You'll need it more then.
Liz.
What?
There's more.
Oh.
Please remove all flowers from house as I have a terrible allergy.
Oh, dear, and I just bought flowers today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, honey, you'll have to admit I tried to keep her from coming here, but, well, as long as she insists, I want you to promise me you'll be nice to her.
I'll treat her just the way she treats me.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, all right, George. I'll try to be nice to her. George, take your feet off the sofa.
Oops, sorry.
You know everything has to be perfect when your mother gets here, or I'll get a series of lectures on how to keep house.
Yeah. You know, she should be here by now. Maybe the train was late.
With your mother on board, it wouldn't dare. Uh-huh. I think I detect her gentle touch on the doorbell.
I'll get it. Mother!
George, my baby! How are you, dear?
Fine, Mother. Come in.
Oh, well, it's wonderful to see you again, my little baby.
Hello, Mother Cooper.
George, let me look at you. My little baby boy.
Hello, Mother Cooper.
Oh, George, I had the most ghastly trip. It was unbearable. The train just crawled along, baby. It really did.
Oh, what a shame.
Hello, Mother Cooper.
Well, it's good to be here anyway. How I've looked forward to being with my little baby.
Well, I've looked forward to being with you, too, Mother.
Well, Elizabeth, I came all this way to see you. The least you could do is say hello.
Well, Liz, Mother's speaking to you. Why don't you answer her?
I don't trust myself.
Liz, Mother hasn't been here 10 minutes.
George, please. I'll keep things peaceful no matter what the sacrifice. Well, my dear, have you been taking good care of my little baby?
Yes, I have. I give him a bottle every 3 hours and change him every time he cries.
Liz.
I'm sorry, Mother Cooper. Yes, we've both been fine, thank you.
Good. Now, children, I've brought you each a little gift.
See, Liz, she brought one for each of us.
Here's yours, George. Open it.
All right. Why, Mother, it's beautiful. Look, Liz, a solid gold cigarette case with my name engraved on it.
It's lovely.
And here's something for you, Liz.
Well, thank you, but you didn't have to bring me anything.
What is it, Liz?
Look, George, just what I've always wanted, a bottle of Airwick.
Well, my dear, George gives you so many luxuries, I thought you'd appreciate something practical. I use it myself.
Oh, really? What do? Put a little behind each ear?
Liz. There she goes again, Mother, making jokes.
Oh. Never mind, George. I know Elizabeth resents me. I know exactly what she's thinking.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm thinking some words you never even heard of.
Elizabeth, believe me, I don't want to cause friction in your little home. I'm trying to think of you. For instance, I can't eat everything, but there's no reason why you should go to the trouble of cooking special meals for me.
That's right.
So we'll all go on my diet.
What?
What is your diet, Mother?
Raw vegetables and goat's milk.
Of all the nervy things I've ever...
Liz, can't you see she's only thinking of us?
Us?
Yes, she doesn't want to make extra work.
My dear, it's a wonderful diet, and it'll do you both good. George, you could stand to lose a few pounds, and Elizabeth could certainly stand to lose a few inches around the...
Hold it! Mother Cooper, you're welcome here as a guest. But I put my foot down when you start running my home. There will be no goat's milk in this house, and that's final.
Why, of course, dear. I wouldn't dream of forcing my desires on you.
Well, that's better.
More goat's milk, George.
No, thanks, Mother. I don't really care for it very much.
Well, you've only been drinking it a week. It's a taste that grows on you. I'll bet Elizabeth likes it, don't you, dear?
What did you say?
That's just what I might have expected.
Now, I think we'd better cut it out, Mother. Today at the bank, Mr. Atterbury leaned over the drinking faucet, and I found myself wanting to butt him.
George, Mother knows best.
Mother knows best. This is a point I'd like explained. Why does Mother always know best? I got a mother, too, and she hates goat's milk.
It's just a figure of speech, Elizabeth. As one grows older, one grows wiser.
Oh, well, then I better drink it because you must be the wisest woman in the world.
Well, are you going to sit there and let her call your mother a broken-down old hag?
That's not what she said.
It's what she was thinking.
It was not.
It was, too.
It was not.
George, Mother knows best.
This is the thanks I get for devoting my life to my children. I could have married again when your poor father died, but no.
Oh, Liz, why did you have to imply she was so old? Tell her you're sorry.
All right, Mother Cooper, I'm sorry you're so old.
Don't. Oh.
Mrs. Cooper, I quit. I don't have to put up with this.
Why, Katie, what's happened?
Mr. Cooper's mother was sneezing and wheezing around all morning, and finally, she broke into my room and bawled me out because she found some roses there.
Well, Katie, you knew she was allergic to roses.
Four roses? Just four measly little roses the mailman gave me.
Well, don't worry, Katie. It works right in with my plan to make her leave. I went out and picked all the plants she's allergic to, mostly ragweed, and I hid it all over the house, under the pillows, on the sofa, between the sheets, on her bed, every place. Ain't I a stinker?
Wonderful.
Oh, she sneezed so much, George took her to see Dr. Boswell, and I'm sure he'll tell her she better go home. Oh, I'm so nervous waiting for her to come back. I'm all tingly and itchy. It's funny what your nerves can do to you, isn't it?
Oh, here comes Sneezy now.
Where is everyone?
In the living room, Mother.
Oh, hello, Elizabeth, dear.
How do you feel? Awful?
No. Dr. Boswell sent me to a wonderful specialist, Dr. Stevenson. Oh, is he divine? And I think he likes me.
Well, what about your allergy?
He can cure it. If I stay here and take a shot every day, I'll be well in 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
That's all. Isn't that wonderful news?
6 weeks?
Well, I'll go in and get dressed. Dr. Stevenson is taking me out tonight.
6 weeks? Oh, Katie, I guess I better take this ragweed out from under the pillow.
Oh, Mrs. Cooper, do you still tingle and itch?
Yes, why?
That's not ragweed, it's poison ivy.
Ow!
Mother Cooper's visit is stretching on, and Mother has become a social butterfly. She's going out every night with Dr. Stevenson, And Liz and George are beginning to wonder when the butterfly is going back to her cocoon.
Where's she going tonight, Liz?
I don't know. Whenever I ask her where she's going or where she's been, all she does is giggle.
You know, I'm surprised. I thought Mother was past the stage of acting silly over a man.
George, your mother's just old, not dead.
I found you. Oh, good evening, children.
Well, Mother, going out again?
That's right, dear.
Where are you going tonight?
That old place again?
Mother, when are we going to get a chance to meet this fellow?
Yes, I'd like to see what he looks like.
Well, one of these days I want you both to meet him. But
what?
Well, you see, Dr. Stevenson travels with socially prominent people.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Mother. You're not ashamed of Liz and me, are you?
Oh, no, dear boy, I'm not ashamed of you. But...
Well, who are you ashamed of?
Shake hands with Liz Cooper, girl outcast.
Oh, Liz, you're just being sensitive. Mother doesn't mean you, do you, Mother?
Yes.
George, I haven't told you this before, but it has to come out in self-defense. Now, I don't want to brag, but when it comes to royal blood, brother, my family is loaded.
Really? What royalty do you have in your blood?
Lord Calvert.
Can see, George, why I refused when Dr. Stevenson asked us all to come to dinner tomorrow night. If she acted like this at his house, I'd be so...
Oh, well, don't worry. I wouldn't go now if it was...
Now, quiet, both of you. Now, listen to me. We're going to the doctor's tomorrow night.
But, son...
But, George...
We're going, and I don't want to hear another word about it. You understand?
Yes, son.
Yes, George.
Oh, women. Oh.
Elizabeth, may I see you a moment?
What is it, Mother Cooper?
About dinner tonight. I want to run over a few things with you.
Such as what?
Well, this means a good deal to me, and I want to be sure you'll conduct yourself properly.
Well, don't worry. I know which knife to eat my peas with.
Now, Elizabeth, I simply want to review what will happen.
All right, go ahead.
Now, when we arrive, the butler will take your coat and I will introduce you to Dr. Stevenson. I want you to politely shake his hand.
Well, I'm glad you told me that. I was thinking of biting him on the leg.
I'm only trying to help you. You can always learn from a more experienced person, and I have a tremendous background.
Well, stay on that diet, and it'll go away.
Oh, I just know you're going to ruin everything.
Well, put your mind at ease. I wouldn't go now if my life depended on it.
Liz, I'm asking you for the last time. Please come to the dinner with us.
No.
But I think we should both meet this man. Mother is serious about him, Liz. She may even marry him.
Oh, no. Do you think so, George? I just changed my mind. I'll be right down. Now, don't go without me.
That's better. I'll wait downstairs with Mother.
Katie, come here. Help me get dressed. I'm going.
I'm coming, Mrs. Cooper. Well, why did you change your mind so suddenly?
I have to break up a romance. Do you realize if Mother Cooper marries that doctor, she'll live right here in town all the time? Well, that's how I feel, too.
What can you do?
Katie, I'm afraid I'm not going to be a lady tonight. I'm going to do everything Mother Cooper is afraid I might do and more.
No.
Yes. Yeah. That ought to discourage the doc, and I'll load myself with perfume. Hand me some, will you, Katie?
Which one?
Schlemiel number 5, hey.
Now, please, Elizabeth, try to be...
Don't worry, Mother. Everything will be all right.
Well, Letitia, come in, come in. I let the butler take the evening off so we could have a cozy little family group.
Well, I'd like you to meet my little family, Griswold. This is my son, George.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And this is my dear little daughter-in-law, Elizabeth.
How do you do? I'm certainly pleased to meet you.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Won't you come in?
Say, this sure is a classy hangout you got here, Sawbones. A real first-class joint.
There she goes, being droll. All the time, those little jokes. Though she's really quite a darling when you get to know her.
Ah, cut the gaff, Grandma. When do we put on the feed bag, huh?
Oh.
Liz, I'd like to speak to you in the hall.
Wait a minute, Buster. Say, Doc, as long as we're here, would you please take a look at my throat?
Liz, whatever you're doing, cut it out.
Perhaps it would be better if we went in and ate.
Yes. Help me, George.
Yes, and Mrs. Cooper, would you take my arm for dinner?
Sure, but I'd rather have a steak. Boy, that's a hot one, ain't it, Doc? Hey, where'll I sit, right here?
Oh, no, don't sit next to the doctor. I'll sit on your right hand, and George will sit on your left hand.
Well, how'll I eat? Out of a nose bag? I did it again, eh, Sawbones?
Well, Griswold, let's talk about you and your busy life. What's new?
Liz, stop wiping the silverware on your skirt.
Oh, it's all right. My dress needs cleaning anyway. Hey. Hey, what's all that stuff that dame is passing around?
The maid is serving lamb.
Well, what's the matter with it? It's turning green already.
That's mint jelly.
What's it for?
The lamb.
What?
Take it on the lamb.
I know it. The joint's been raided.
Well, you certainly succeeded in making a fool of me.
Oh, now, Letitia.
Don't worry, Griswold. We're leaving. I'm sorry we ruined your evening.
Nonsense. I love it. I think Liz is wonderful.
What?
She's obviously just having fun with a phony Bronx accent like that.
Phony? What do you mean?
Look, my dear, I have to keep up a big front to get society patients. But it's not too long ago since I came from Brooklyn myself.
No kidding, hey!
Sure, I'm from Flatbush already. Oh, you don't know how relieved I am that this is the kind of family I'm marrying into.
Oh, no, wait a minute, Doc. I wasn't kidding. I'm awful. Wait till you get to know me. I'm a real slob.
It's no use, Mrs. Cooper. I like you.
George, wake up.
Huh? What is it?
I was just thinking how peaceful it is with your mother gone.
Now, Liz. Yeah, I guess it is worthwhile to wake up and realize we're alone again.
Your mother's so funny. As soon as she found out the doctor was from Brooklyn and liked me, she couldn't stand him, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. George, the doorbell. Who could it be at this hour of the night?
I'll go down and see. I hope nothing's wrong.
Never mind. Katie's answering it.
Mrs. Cooper?
Yes, Katie? Who's at the door?
Your new house guest.
Katie, you don't mean...
Yes, Mrs. Cooper, your mother just arrived.
Oh.
Now, favorite husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
My Favorite Husband on Tuned to Yesterday, an episode first heard on CBS on March 4th, 1949, later broadcast overseas via Armed Forces Radio. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and now it's time for Duffy's Tavern, an NBC Blue Network broadcast from September 15th, 1944, providing a couple of firsts for the show. In this episode, Maddie Melnick plays the music for the first time. Also, Florence Robinson is Miss Duffy. That was sort of a controversy, as the series was in its infancy, as husband and wife team Ed Gardner and Shirley Booth were both on the show as bartender Archie and Miss Duffy. When they divorced, Booth left the program, and Ed Gardner went on the search for a permanent replacement. He went through hundreds of telephone and transcription auditions before he and his new wife, Simone, ran across an audition that Simone thought sounded exactly like his ex-wife. It turned out to be 20-year-old Florence Hallop, who was with the program for about three seasons, and in her stead, other actresses had to supply the voice, like Doris Singleton, Helen Lind, and our next actress making her first appearance as Miss Duffy, Florence Robinson. This also marks the first time that singer and radio pioneer Rudy Vallee appeared on the program. It's Duffy's Tavern.
Duffy's Tavern, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner. And now, here we go, friends, to Duffy's Tavern, with Burt Gordon as the Mad Russian, Hazel Shermett as Miss Duffy, our guest, Rudy Vallee, and starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Duffy's Tavern, where do you late meat to eat? Archie the man just speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. How's business? The place is overflowing. Yep, the sewer's busted again. Yeah. Which reminds me, Rudy Vallee's coming down tonight. Rudy Vallee. Well, remember the time you bought your first radio and when you turned it on, you thought there was something wrong with it? Yeah, that's the guy. And how'd he get started? Well, he studied for 8 years before he found out he couldn't sing. By then it was too late to stop. Yes, sir, and he turned out to be very successful. Did he what? Did he save his money? Duffy, did you hear that? Even the operator's laughing. Duffy, at Yale, they used to have a song called Bula Bula. Since Valley went there, they call it Mula Mula. Well, look, I'll call you back. I'm busy writing a new radio show for Rudy.
Hey, Miss Duffy.
Yes, Archie.
I wonder if Rudy will be happy here tonight in our creaky old joint.
Why not? He's a little creaky in the joints himself.
Look, Miss Duffy, you're talking about the Rudy Vallee.
Rudy Vallee? Who's he? A sober Phil Harris.
Miss Duffy, please, have a little reverence for the departed. Don't forget, a guy like Rudy Vallee gives us prestige here. Take a look at this menu I wrote up for the occasion.
Let me see it. Today only, the Rudy Vallee Blue Plate, Connecticut Yankee Pot Roast, Vagabond Liver, New England Ham.
Yeah, Yeah, it's boiled ham.
How do you know what condition he'll be in when he gets here?
Miss Duffy, Rudy never gets in that condition.
Say, Archie, a man just came in and dropped a penny in the peanut machine.
So what?
I think it must be Rudy Valley.
Well, why do you think it's Valley?
He's counting the peanuts.
That's right, it is Rudy Valley.
My time is your time.
Rudy, I'm glad to see you. Look at you. I can see that you're the same old Rudy.
What do you mean?
Well, the way you came in singing, so generous and unstinting with your talent, you know, singing for all mankind, whether they want to hear you or not.
A dubious compliment.
Well, dubious says it, dubious does. And, may I further say that you are looking as handsome as ever in them golden curly locks and that svelte, youthful figure, and them svelte eyes. By the way, speaking of them eyes of yours, Rudy, which side of the 38th parallel was you born on?
Archie, I shall ignore your insults. May I further say that you are the same old Archie?
That's a lousy insult. Yeah?
I'd like to meet Rudy Valley.
Well, why the sudden interest? You've been saying that you're young enough to be his daughter.
So what? With Rudy Valley, anybody young enough to be his daughter is old enough to be his wife.
Well, okay, I'll introduce you. Rudy, I know you came down here tonight to enjoy yourself, but this is Miss Duffy.
Looks like a Harvard man.
Gee, just imagine. Rudy Valley in person.
That's right, my dear. You may now faint.
Oh, thank you. Rudy Valley, that voice, those nostrils. Fill the stein to dear old maid, shout till the rift is reached.
Why, Miss Duffy, I didn't think you were old enough to remember the Maine Stein song.
Are you kidding? This dame remembers the Maine.
You know something, Mr. Valley? Last week, I wrote to NBC for a picture of a star. Guess what?
What?
They sent me a picture of you.
Oh, framed?
I sure was. I wanted Cary Grant.
Miss Duffy, I am now going to say something to you that I've never said to a woman before.
Oh, really? What?
Scram.
If it wasn't for his age, I'd punch him right in the nose.
Get out of here, will you?
No, Archie. I assume that you had an ulterior motive in requesting my presence here tonight.
On the contrary, I did. Rudy, I got a great opportunity for you to make...
Money?
Well, it could run into it fast, first tell me, how's your voice this century?
Oh, about the same as last.
Well, I got a radio program in mind that...
Would you like to hear me sing?
How avid. Well, yeah, go ahead. Let me hear how you sound these days.
Very well.
Terrific, Rudy. Still the same old Valley.
I haven't sung yet.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Well, here, I'll give you the key.
All right. If you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only boy, nothing else would matter in this world today. We could go on loving in the same old way, a garden of Eden just made for two, with nothing to mar our joy. I would say such wonderful things.
there would be such wonderful things to do if you were the only girl in the world and I were the only boy.
That was bravado, sheer bravado. No? You sounded just like Carmen Lombardo.
Another dubious compliment.
That's what Carmen Lombardo said. But for radio, you know, just singing is old hat these days. You gotta augment it up with something else. You gotta be a singing cowboy or a singing disc jockey or a singing commercial, you know. That's where I got an idea for a frightening mystery. You are gonna be a singing detective.
A singing detective?
Yep, sort of a combination Thin Man and Margaret Truman. As I told you, Rudy, it'll be really frightening.
But what about a sponsor?
Stop worrying. Duffy'll sponsor it.
What about a script?
Stop worrying. It's already wrote.
Who wrote it?
Me.
It will be frightening.
Look, stop worrying, will you?
What about the salary?
Rudy, start worrying. Now, okay, everybody. We're going to do a rehearsal of the first episode of The Hummer. By the way, Howard Hull, you're the announcer here. I'd like you to read the commercials.
Oh, joy.
Now, with these commercials, you have to be subtle about them and kind of sneak them in.
Sneak them in?
Yeah. Okay, we're on the air. Ladies and gents of the radio audience, Duffy's Tavern brings you The Hummer, starring Rudy Vallee.
My crime is your crime.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Suckers.
Thank you. See the way they sneak them in? We begin. I, Archie, am the Hummer's assistant. Him and me is a couple of private eyes, but we never cross each other. We are in our office, and the Hummer is sitting at his desk. Before him is a book of poetry and a bottle. The book is unopened. I speak. I say, Hummer, why don't you lay off of that poetry?
I can't help it. Me nerves is on edge. Why, I ain't the man I used to be. Archie, this grammar.
What's wrong with it?
The word ain't.
Look, Rudy, a lot of people ain't using the word ain't, but they ain't eating. Now, continue. Now, we're sitting in our office when suddenly... Just a second. Hummer, what was that ring?
The telephone.
What a deduction. The man is positively psychopathiatric. Hello? What? Somebody's been murdered? Okay, we'll be right over. Let's go, Hummer.
What's the address?
Gazoops, I forgot to ask. Hello? Where? Oh, thanks. All right, leave us go, Hummer. Well, sir, we arrived at the scene of the crime. A mansion in Beverly Hills. Rococo, but simple. With a well-kept 9-hole golf course on a small island in the middle of the swimming pool. We rang the doorbell. Suddenly, the door creakingly opened. And we found ourselves face to face with something real sinister.
How do you do?
Tell me, sir, who are you?
I am Rasputin, the Chinese butler.
Well, I guess that clears you. Tell us, Rasputin, where is the late demented corpse?
There on the floor. The dead one.
Oh.
He's my master, Mr. Throckmorton. Forgive him for not rising.
Well, come and leave us examine the corpus delicti. Mm-hmm. Looks to me like he took poison internally.
Poison? Poison? Then how do you account for this large ice pick stuck in his back?
Hummer, you're a genius. Hummer, you're humming. Hummer, does this mean that you have found a clue?
Yes. Archie, remove your hat.
Why, is the dead man a woman?
No. He was a Yale man.
Amazing, Hummer. How can you tell that he was a Yale man?
Elementary, my dear Archie. Notice his attire. A derby hat and a raccoon coat.
Gazooks! As I see it, there's only one thing to do. Examine the ice pick.
What ice pick?
The one stuck in his back.
Oh, that one.
Just a minute, gentlemen. Before you examine the ice pick, I should like to wipe off my fingerprints.
A fair request.
One moment, my good man. Who are you?
Hummer, it's Rasputin, the Chinese butler that answered the door when we came in.
Oh, yes, I never forget a face.
Tell me, Rasputin, before the murder was committed, did you notice anything strange around the house?
Outside of me?
Yes.
Well, this morning, Mrs. Throckmorton, the widow, sent me out to have the ice pick sharpened. And as I am leaving, she is phoning the insurance company.
Words, words, words. We are looking for clues. Think. Think, my good man. Something unusual must have happened.
Well, let me see, let me see. The widow also sent me out for a sort of shotgun and a bottle of poison.
Ah, this is getting us no place. No clues, no suspects. And yet I am sure that a crime has been committed.
I agree with you, Hummer. There's something afoot. What do we do, Hummer?
We'll question the widow, Throckmorton.
Gazooks, what a brain. Never leaves a dame unturned.
And here comes Mrs. Throckmorton now.
Hello, tall, curly, and nasal. Glad you could come up and see the body.
Tell me, are you thinking, Hummer?
Yes, but back to business. Widow Throckmorton, allow me to introduce myself. I am the Hummer, tracker of men.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Mrs. Throckmorton, there's probably nothing to be alarmed about, but we have found your husband extremely dead. With an ice pick in his back. Mrs. Throckmorton, you realize what I'm saying? Your husband has been cruelly murdered.
Eek.
Mrs. Throckmorton, I hope you don't mind if we interrogate you.
No, I'd love it.
Well, tell me, Mrs. Throckmorton, before you married your husband, what did you do for a living?
I was a chorus girl. I was known as Ice Pick Nellie.
And why did they call you Ice Pick Nellie?
Oh, I don't know. Just a nickname.
Nothing but blind alleys.
Oh, butler,
you are calling me...
Who are you?
The butler.
Oh, yes, I never forget a face. Tell me, do you know who killed your master?
Natch.
You do? Well, tell us.
You think I'm a tattletale?
Butler, you mean...
I'm dummying up.
There's something suspicious about this whole thing. It gets bafflinger and bafflinger.
I've got it. I think I know we can find a clue.
Where can we find a clue, Hummer?
At Yale University.
Why, of course. It's obvious. Shall we go?
As the last rose of summer said to the other last rose of summer, leave us wither away.
Okay, leave us wither away.
Friends, if you want to wither away, eat at Duffy's Tavern. And be sure to try our steaks. The club steaks are personally clubbed by the manager. And now, back to our story.
And so we arrived at Yale University, where the Hummer came face to face with his old dean. The dean spoke.
How do you do?
A dizzy dean.
Dean, I regret to report that old Throckmorton, class of 1861, has been seriously murdered.
You don't mean...
Yes, Dean, but he was a true Yale man to the end. He died with his derby and his raccoon coat on.
Good for Throckmorton. At last he had made skull and bones. Tell me, what happened to him?
An ice pick in the back. And, Dean, we thought you might know who killed him.
I'll tell you who killed him. It was...
Who?
I'm dummying up.
And so, once again, history repeated itself. The Hummer learned nothing at Yale. So, we continued our search for clues from one end of the globe to the other. India, New Zealand, Hialeah, Asia Minor, Far Rockaway.
Hialeah.
We even went to Antwerp and talked to the twits. It was in Antwerp that we discovered that the ice pick was manufactured in Norway. This meant only one thing, Argentina. While we were sitting at a cafe in Argentina, a few strolling pampers came in and began to sing an old opera tune. Howard, an old opera tune.
Friends, I'd like to take this opera tune moment to tell you about the drinks at Duffy's Tavern. Remember, a drink at Duffy's is good for your stomach. Ask the man who had one. Now, back to our play.
And so we continued our search. From Stockholm to Oslo. From the Skagerrak to the Kattegat. Then suddenly the Hummer started humming. This could only mean one thing, Scotland. The next morning we found ourselves in the heart of Scotland. Scotland Yard itself. We was greeted by Inspector McIntyre.
How do you, Hootman?
You are a Scotchman?
In this guy, do you think I'm playing Little Lever?
Oh, I'm sorry, Inspector. We have no time for frivolities. We're looking for clues.
Well, you've got a bro, brech, mulech, necht, necht, tulkach, brech. What sort of clues, Hootman, are you looking for?
Inspector, we're looking for the cad who murdered a Yale man in his old raccoon coat.
Was this Yale man wearing a derby hoot?
Aye.
Is he having an ice pick in his back?
Aye. Do you ken anything about the case?
I'm dumbing up.
And so the search went on. We left Scotland and sailed for Juneau, Alaska.
Juneau? About the food at Duffy's Tavern? Just ask the man who's been there. He'll tell you where to go.
Thank you, Howard. And we continue. After many months of fruitless search, we returned to America in the Throckmorton mansion. The butler spoke.
How do you... Hey, it's you again.
This man is beastly familiar. Archie, who is he?
Hummer, don't you remember? It's Rasputin, the butler.
Oh, yes. I never forget a face.
Rasputin, is there any new clues?
Only one. Yesterday, we had some highballs, and we had to use the ice pick. But don't worry. We stuck it right back into Mr. Throckmorton.
Just a second.
Quiet, everybody. The Hummer is thinking. There may be a solution to this crime yet.
Europa, the solution. I have it.
What is it, Hummer?
Archie, take the corpse's fingerprints.
Okay. Wait. Hummer, the corpse has no fingers. Only claws. What does this mean?
Archie, remove his derby hat. Yank out the ice pick and tell me what you see.
Gazooks, it ain't a Yale man at all. It's only a polar bear rug. Hummer, does this mean...
Yes, there is no Mr. Throckmorton. There is nobody.
You mean...
It was a perfect crime that was never committed.
Hummer, you're a genius. Well, Rudy, tell me, what do you think of it as a radio play?
What do I think of it?
Yeah. Rudy, no. Rudy, stop humming at me that way. I know what you're thinking. Rudy, put down that ice pick. Rudy.
Yeah, well, have a good time, and he'll be with you next week.
It's time to leave Duffy's Tavern for now, but be sure to be with us again next time for another hilarious get-together at everybody's favorite tavern.
Duffy's Tavern on Tuned to Yesterday from September 15th, 1944, first heard on the NBC Blue Network. And that wraps this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levionier. Thanks for tuning in.